I'm going to read. Our text today is Ephesians 4, verses 7 through 10. I want to read these verses in your hearing, and then we're going to ask God to help us understand what he's saying to us here. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Verse 9. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Amen. Father, we humbly bow together before you now and ask you to help us understand with great clarity what you have recorded here, and give us insight to know how it applies to our lives, and grant us great grace to order our lives according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. Our subject again this week is preparation for the work of ministry. I want you to remember that what we've covered so far in these past few weeks is the fact that the work of ministry was lacking at the church at Ephesus. The work of ministry wasn't getting done, and so Paul is addressing that issue now. Last week, you might remember what we saw is that he said, walk worthy of the calling, right? And so everyone needs to be keenly aware that before you get involved in the work of ministry, you need to be sure you're saved. You make sure that the call of God to salvation is sure, and then you make sure he's called you to do the work you plan to do, right? It's the call of God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. It's so tempting to hear the voice of people in the church who want you to do something. Yes? Because everybody wants you to, people want to see you involved, and that's okay. But you need to hear the voice of the master. He saved you to do something for him. Now, it'll benefit the church, yes? So make sure that you understand and you hear the call of God, both to be saved and to ministry. In verses 2 and 3, last time we saw that it's not only the call of God that you need to be aware of, it's the character of God all right that also needs to be dominant in your life before you get involved in ministry. He talked about the need for gentleness, right, and patience and humility. This character needs to be fundamentally a part of the essence of who you are if you're going to get involved in the work of ministry. And then lastly, we saw what I call the culmination from God is unity. So it's the call of God, the character, and the culmination. And so we saw last time that we don't have to, God didn't call upon us to create unity. Yes? The Holy Spirit creates unity. God said, he creates it, you maintain it. You see the difference? We don't have to create unity. We have to, God has already created it. We got one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The unity is already there. We got one word of God. We're not here with all kind of different, we're not studying from different books. You know what I mean? We don't have different guidelines in the body of Christ. We got one book, right? One word. So the unity is already there. God says, maintain it. Stop your divergence. Stop going down rabbit trails. And stop finding reasons to be split up. Work hard to what? To stay one. To stay in unity. And any married person or any person here that's ever had a relationship, you know you have to work hard, right, to maintain it. Keeping unity in a relationship is what? Work. It is. And so it's no different in the body of Christ. We good? Just want to make sure everybody's on the same page before we dive into what we want to talk about today. So with that in mind, then Paul makes this appeal for unity and maturity in ministry. Because for real ministry to happen in the body of Christ, we have to be in unity and we got to be mature. All of us know what it's like to have childish activity in ministry. Every little thing is a squabble. It's just, Paul talked about the fact that you have to move on from childish things, right? When I was a child, I acted like a child. And so God wants us to grow up. All right. So let's take a look today. I want us to focus in with these verses that we just read, 7 through 10. I want us to talk about the fact that Christ descended. He came to this earth with purpose. Really, I want you to get anchored in this today. Jesus came with purpose. It had been planned from eternity past. And God brought it about. Right? And he descended with purpose. We're going to say that in verse 9. And then the remainder of that text, then I'm going to show you that he ascended with purpose as well. God always has a purpose in his actions. There's never any frivolous action. God always thinks through his actions before they take place. We're good? So let's spend just a few minutes with these two main thoughts in mind, and I believe that we'll be able to lay hold of why Paul is wanting unity as we minister together. So Christ descended with purpose. Here's the first thing that I want to answer. And I know that as Christians, as Peter says, I'm going to be talking to you about things you already know. The gospel should never bore any Christian. Amen. Yes? Why would the good news ever be boring? Is the good news never not good? You know what I'm saying. The good news is what? Always good news. Yes. Right? And so it's like watching a good movie. Is there anybody here ever watched a movie more than once? No. Right? Why? Because it was a good movie. And what we're talking about here is the best. The gospel is the best. This is good news. Yes, it'll never be anything but good news. Right. Every Christian ought to be thrilled. If you can watch a movie more than once, and my wife complains to me all the time. You watching that again? Sometimes you just enjoy watching the same old, you know, and I'm creeping up on 70. Ernest is a little ahead of me, but not far. But you have to repeat some things.
Yeah.
By design. Sometimes I read the movie, watch the movie, and I forgot that was it. If I ever remembered, if I ever knew that, I didn't know. That's a new thing that I'm seeing right there. Now, what are you saying, Brother Willie? I'm saying it's the same with the gospel. It ought to be fresh all the time.
Yes, man.
So anyway, we're going to be talking about things that you as a Christian already know, but let's get it. Where did Christ come from? Before the incarnation, before Christ was conceived, in the marriage womb, before the incarnation, Jesus existed as the eternal second person of our triune God. Yes? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were what? Made through Him or by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. So we know that before the incarnation, Jesus existed as the eternal second person of the Godhead, the Word, right? Jesus explicitly stated that he came from heaven to earth. Amen. Can you turn to John chapter 3? John chapter 3 and verse 13. No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven. You see that? The Son of Man. John chapter 6 and verse 38. For I have come down from heaven. Emphatically, Jesus speaking here. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Amen. So it is, I don't think I need to spend a lot of time there. I hope I'm mostly speaking to believers. And if you're not a believer, just trust me on this. Jesus came from heaven to earth. Yes? He came to earth. And so what we see here is that heaven, if you will, is the dwelling place of God. It's where God's presence is clearly manifested. Most of us will know what is often referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in what? Heaven. Yes. And so that's no mystery. Heaven is that place. Heaven is where our citizenship is. Heaven is where our treasure is. Heaven is where our future is. And Jesus came from there to here. Yes? So hopefully that question isn't one that we have to labor on too much. Where did Jesus come from? The last question I want to answer in regard to his descent is, why did he come? I want to just give you three sentences, and we'll move on to our next point, okay? The first thing I want to clearly establish in your heart and mind is that Jesus came to live a perfect life of righteousness for every believer. You and I will never, never, never in this life be perfect, right? And for those, there's so many religions that are based on work, that works religion, that you have to work and work, and the work will never be good enough. You'll never be good enough to satisfy God. Not by your works, right? And so Christ lived that perfect life for us, right? We have a high priest. We don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize. He can sympathize with us. Because he experienced all things that we did, but yet, you know how that verse ends? Yet without what? Sin. He lived a sinless life, and he said, Willie, you got a bankrupt life when it comes to righteousness. Jesus took his righteousness and put it in my bank account.
All right.
What? Yeah. That's how I got to be righteous. That's how you got to be righteous. He took it out of his bank account and put it in yours. Isn't that good?
Yes.
That's wonderful. That's a part of the good news, is that he came to live a perfect life for you and me.
Yes.
That's the only way you can be called a saint. Amen?
Amen?
Jesus lived that perfect life. And then, not only did he come to live a perfect life, he came to die. That sacrificial death. He came to die actually in our place. He was carrying our sorrows, right? Our griefs. He was carrying our griefs upon him. He was wounded what? For our transgression. Crushed the bruise for our iniquities. Yes? It was for us. So I'm saying that was a purpose. He came with a specific purpose. And that was you and me. This is the good news. You're not an accident. You didn't get accidentally saved. Stop taking credit for it. Jesus had you in mind before you were ever born. This is the gospel. Even if your parents didn't want you, Jesus wanted you. This is the good news. Your earthly father may not have wanted you, but your heavenly father did. And the good thing about being a Christian is you got two fathers.
Yes.
You got one that gave you, that was your father for your first birth. But your second father was the father for your second birth. Yeah? You got two birthdays. Hallelujah! And the second one is what's really important.
Yeah?
Even if you don't know the exact day, that's all right. Just know you've been born again.
Amen.
Right? You need to know you've been born again. Because Jesus came to ensure that. Right? He sacrificed his own life for you. And then, of course, you know, lastly, then he was resurrected for our justification. And if you've never seen that before, I'll just read that verse for you. It's in Romans 4. I think it's verse 25. Romans 4. I'll read the context so you can get it. Beginning at verse 22. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord. And then verse 25. Who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Amen. You have been declared forgiven. Just as a criminal stands before a judge in the court and is at that judge's mercy, you and I are at God's mercy. And Jesus, as the one who's defending us, says, Father, I've already paid the debt for Willie.
Yes.
There's no more debt to be paid. And so God, with the heavenly gavel, or whatever the thing's called, then declares us forgiven.
Yes.
Isn't this one?
Yes.
He was raised for our justification. This is good news.
Amen.
Well, what's your point, Brother Willie? Because Jesus sacrificed so much for us in life and death, we should live in a manner worthy of this calling to salvation.
Amen.
And ministry. He did this for us. How does he, what's the song say? I will what? Live for him who what? Who died for me. That's really all that I'm saying. If you really understand what Christ did for you, then why wouldn't you live for him? Yeah? So he descended with purpose. Then lastly, I want to talk briefly then about his ascension with purpose. Not only did he come to this earth with purpose, he left here with purpose as well. Where did he ascend to? Come on now, Christian. The gospel ought to at least excite something in you. Where did he ascend to? Just think about this. Jesus stated most emphatically that he would ascend back into heaven. Amen. Can you turn to John chapter 6, verse 62. John 6, 62. Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? Right? Now go to John 20 and verse 17, I believe it is. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go and tell my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." He stated emphatically that he would ascend back into heaven. The Bible clearly states, not only did Jesus say he would ascend, the Bible clearly states that he what? He did. He did ascend back into heaven. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. And when this is when Jesus now has gathered the disciples there before. This is the last time they're going to see him on earth. You got that? Acts 1 and verse 9. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into what? Heaven. As he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes saying, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." By the way, I'm not going to get to this today. He's coming again.
Amen. All right, all right.
There won't be any preaching when he comes again. We won't have any church services. There won't be any invitations to come to Christ when he comes again. It'll be too late. There's an old song that says, midnight's coming. You need to work while it's what?
It's day.
Day, because what? Night is coming. Noah was preaching that during his day. Kept telling people it's going to rain. But Noah, there's no clouds in the sky. We know what do you mean it's going to rain? It's going to rain. And the only salvation you have is to be on the boat. But they didn't believe him. And it's the same today. People feel secure with their 401ks and the Social Security system and your all of these things, your health plan. It feels that you're in better shape than you've ever been in your life. He's coming again. None of that will help you. Now, this is a part of the good news. Yeah. Would you want to live like this always? Absolutely not. I'm tell you this. There's sometimes I can hardly see you with glasses on. Aren't you looking forward to the day when you don't, right? See, some of you young people don't understand this. When you at a certain age, you wake up in the morning and you wonder how things are going to be. Which side going to hurt? Which, you know? You know you got to make your way to the front where the medicine thing is. And hope you don't forget. Do you want to live like this? This is not the way it's going to be. Heaven is home. And he's coming. Let not your what? Heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to what? Prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you to myself. I'm going home. This is not home. We need to stop. We need to work here. But we're working for the treasure there. Yeah? How much treasure are you storing up over there? That's really all that I'm getting to. He ascended. No, I'm not even there yet. So that's where he came. That's where he ascended to. It's the place. Heaven is the place of God's authority. Right? You remember there's a wonderful verse in Isaiah 66. God says, heaven is my throne, and the earth is what? My footstool. You remember that? Yeah. Heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And I hope you're going. A sermon won't get you there. I know I get excited at times when I talk and preach. That won't get you there. Tears won't get you there. Reading your Bible won't get you there. Coming to church on a regular basis, giving, serving on a regular, that's not going to get you there. Jesus is the only way you go to heaven. He came to seek and what? Save the lost. The only way you can be sure you go. Now, you remember I talked about Noah? The only way you were going to survive the flood is to be what? In the boat. The only way you're going to survive the next disaster is to be in the boat. The boat is Christ. You got to be in him if you're going to survive the disaster that's coming.
Yes.
Disaster is coming.
Yes, it is.
All of these systems you see built up, this war between the United States and Russia and all these, that's nothing. Nothing compared to the King of Glory is coming.
Yes.
Every knee will bow.
Yes.
Every knee. Putin and Trump and everybody else, his knee is going to bow before the King of Glory.
Hallelujah.
Right? Fear God.
Yes.
Right? That's the beginning of wisdom. The fear, what? The Lord. So, you're getting me. I'm not trying to terrorize you. But I am trying to shake some reality into you. if you want to go to heaven, you have to go on God's terms. You see, this needs to be settled before you start working in the church. You need to know you're saved. You need to know where you're going. So when I work, I'm not, the result is left up to God. If he tells me to plow this row right here, it may not ever, I may not ever see anything grow on it. But if that's what he told me to plow, then I plow that row. Right? That's what I'm saying. Because I know where I'm going. This row is not my issue. This row is just the work I'm doing. It's too many of us looking at the work. And that's all of our joy comes just in looking at the work. Sit there staring at that row. You done worked all that time on that row. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah? He's the author.
Yes.
In fact, right? Fix your eyes on Jesus so that you can run your race with joy. Whatever happens to this row, that's up to the Lord. One plants, what? Another waters. It's God that gives the increase. I wasn't intending for this to be long. But so we good on that? That's where he ascended to. And then finally, why did he ascend? Christ ascended back to the place of authority to finish the plan for his church. And I want to zero on this and we'll be done. Can you get back over to Ephesians? Get back to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to notice, you notice verse 10 in Ephesians chapter 4? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens. Look at this. This is the reason that he might fill all things. You see that in that verse? That's the reason he ascended. And so my point is this. Christ ascended back to the place of authority. Back to the place where he rules to finish the plan for his church. He did his work. When he said, what did he say when he was dying? It is what? It's finished. The work of redemption has been done. The only thing left now is for you and I to come to him. But the rest of the work for the church is yet to be done. That's what I'm saying. And it will be done whether you do it or not. See, we are blessed when we do what God wants us to do. It's going to get done. You believe that? God always has people who will obey him, even if you won't. Yes?
Amen.
And so he went back to heaven so that this work could be finished. He ascended to give spiritual gifts to believers for the body of Christ.
Amen.
You got verse 7? But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Amen. That's the story. Now, it's not time for the credits yet, but I'm getting there, all right? But you got the storyline, okay? And so what I'm saying now is that you realize that Christ came to this earth for a purpose. He did the work, he completed the purpose, and he ascended back to heaven with purpose. He's there in heaven now carrying out the purpose that he intends. And he wants you and I on earth to finish what he's called us to do. That's a pretty straightforward plan, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Jesus descended, he did the work he was supposed to do, he finished it, he went back to heaven, and he's in heaven saying to you and me, I save you to do the work I want you to do. You do that work, and you will ascend too. We follow the same pattern as we see with our Lord. He was the first, but there's going to be many more. For the trumpet will sound, right? The voice of the archangel, right? And the dead in Christ, what? Right? You going to be in that number?
Yeah.
Caught up in the air. Forever to be with the Lord. But we need to finish the work before that happens. So then, as we conclude, my brother, my sister, without question, Jesus has completed the work of redemption that he descended, or he came to the earth to do. Without question, he has redeemed us from the curse of sin. He's redeemed us from the debt and the slavery of sin. Without question, he has taken away the fear and the mystery of death. If you are a Christian, you do not need to be afraid of death. Jesus took away the sting of death. Death has no hold on you. Christian, I imagine everybody in this room here has been to a funeral. The person is not in the casket. Never. Whether they were a believer or unbeliever, that person is not in that casket. That's just the house they lived in. For the Christian, absent, what? From the body, present with the Lord. Isn't that good news? Death isn't something I fear. Death is something I what? I look forward to. It's release.
Amen.
You see the difference? And so without the fear of death, I can do what God calls me to do. Because the worst that the world has to offer is to threaten you with death. I'll take away your job. I'll take away this. See, that's all that the world can do. If nothing else, then I'll kill you. I'll make you suffer. Did it work in the first century? Has it worked in any century with believers? Won't do it. Daniel, we know this. Daniel, right? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Just go right down the list. Did it work? No. And Christian, you and I need to be prepared. You're not really prepared to live for Christ until you're ready to die for him. Yes.
Amen.
And so, think about that. Without question, he's given us spiritual gifts. And what I mean by that is he's given us supernatural abilities to do his will. And right now, Jesus is ruling from heaven to aid us. He is in heaven right now saying, Willie, Trinity Community Church, every individual in here that's a Christian, he's saying to us, I will provide for you. Right? He's in heaven now saying, I will protect you. In heaven saying, I will deliver you. In heaven saying, I'll give you counsel. I'll give you power. I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you insight. And he's doing that from heaven where all resources are available to him. When Jesus died, he said, all exousia, all authority in heaven and on earth has been what? Given to me. Every resource is available to him to help you. Isn't that good news? Every resource is available to you, my brother, my sister. Therefore, we have no legitimate reason for the work of ministry not to be done here at TCC. We have no legitimate reason for us to not be in unity and functioning in maturity here at TCC. God has made all the preparation.
Amen.
So let's live for him who died for us. If you're not a Christian, then I'm not exhorting you to do the work of ministry. If you're not a Christian, that's not your primary call right now. If you're not a Christian, the primary issue in your life right now must be to hear the voice of Christ. Not the voice of Willie. Not the voice of somebody else in this church. You need to hear the voice of Christ calling you to himself. Once you have heard that voice, you'll never be the same.
Amen.
I'm not talking about something mystical, but I am talking about something supernatural. Once you have heard the voice of Jesus, you'll never be the same. He calls you to salvation, and then he calls you to serve. Lord, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we spent together. In your presence, and I want to thank you, Lord Christ, for making such a tremendous sacrifice. You laid aside all of the pleasures, the wonder of heaven. You humbled yourself and you came into this corrupt world. You came, you lived holy, you died sacrificially, you rose victoriously, and you did it for those whom you love. Thank you, Lord Christ, for what you have accomplished for us. Thank you for the call to salvation. Thank you for the call to serve you. Now, would you help us with great clarity to know what you're calling us to do? Would you take note of every individual here under the sound of my voice in this room? Would you take note? And you know why you gathered us here today. Would you complete the work that you have planned in such a time as this? We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.